Udupi is the place of Sri Madhvacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also visited here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit here is briefly described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 9. Verse 245 of that chapter is in the commentary, Srila Prabhupada, following the commentary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, summarizes the pastimes of Sri Madhvacharya. So I'll read that and then speak some more about Sri Madhvacharya. Here's that verse. Madhvacharya sthane ayala jaha tattavadi udopite krishna dekhi taha hoilo premonmadi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at Udupi, the place of Madhvacharya, where the philosophers known as Tattvavadis resided. There he saw the deity of Krishna and became mad with ecstasy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became mad with ecstasy here. And in the purport, okay, 200 rupees. Get, who's that? Who's this? Okay, please take it immediately. Who's going to do that? You want to do that, Divya Prabhanda? It's a wet one. You didn't hear the announcement? All right, we'll give you a break. Any cell phones go off? We're exacting a fine, aren't we? There you go. Well, do it again. Take it now. No excuse now. There's another one. We'll cover all the festival things with this. Shripad Madhvacharya took his birth near Udupi, which is situated in the South Kanara district of South India. Now it's Udupi district. At the time it was Dakshin Kanara district, just west of Sahyadri. This is the chief city. Anyway, this is the chief city of the South Kanara province and is near the city of Mangalore, which is situated to the south of Udupi. Near the city of Udupi is a place called Pajaka Kshetra, where Madhvacharya took his birth in a Shivali Brahmana dynasty as the son of Madhya Geha Bhatta in the year 1040 Shatabda. It's difficult to find. If you catch them, find them. In the year 1040 Shatabda, AD 1118. According to some, he was born in the year 1160 Shatabda, AD 1238. That's a big difference, isn't it? Some say he was born in 1040, another in 1160, 120 years difference. In his childhood, Madhvacharya was known as Vasudeva, and there are some wonderful stories surrounding him. It is said that once when his father had piled up many debts, Madhvacharya converted tamarind seeds into actual coins to pay them off. When he was 5 years old, he was offered the sacred thread. A demon named Maniman lived near his abode in the form of a snake. And at the age of 5, Madhvacharya killed that snake with the toe of his left foot. When his mother was very much disturbed, he would appear before her in one jump. He was a great scholar even in childhood, and, Although his father did not agree, he accepted sannyas at the age of 12. Upon receiving sannyas from Achyuta Preksha, he received the name Purna Pragya Tirtha. Purna Pragya is the name of Vishnu, and it means one who has got complete intelligence, knowledge. So it's the name of Vishnu and of Madhvacharya. After traveling all over India, he finally discussed scriptures with Vidyashankara, the exalted leader of Sringeri Math. Vidyashankara was actually diminished in the presence of Madhvacharya. Accompanied by Satya Tirtha, Madhvacharya went to Bhadrikashram. It was there that he met Vyasadeva and explained his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita before him. Thus he became a great scholar by studying before Vyasadeva. By the time he came to the Ananda Math from Bhadrikashram, Madhvacharya had finished his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. His companion Satya Tirtha wrote down the entire commentary. When Madhvacharya returned from Bhadrikashram, he went to Ganjam, which is on the bank of the river Godavari. There he met with two learned scholars named Shobhan Bhatt and Swami Shastri. Later these scholars became known in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya as Padmanabha Tirtha and Narahari Tirtha. When he returned to Udupi, he would sometimes bathe in the ocean. On such an occasion he composed a prayer in 5 chapters. Once, while sitting beside the sea, engrossed in meditation upon Lord Sri Krishna, he saw a large boat containing goods for Dwaraka was in danger. He gave some signs by which the boat could approach the shore and it was saved. The owners of the boat wanted to give him a present, and at that time Madhvacharya agreed to take some Gopi Chanda. He received a big lump of Gopi Chandan, and as it was being brought to him, it broke apart and revealed a large deity of Lord Krishna. The deity had a stick in one hand and a lump of food in the other. As soon as Madhvacharya received the deity of Krishna in this way, he composed a prayer. The deity was so heavy that not even 30 people could lift it. Yet Madhvacharya personally brought this deity to Udupi. 8 of Madhvacharya's sannyas disciples became directors of his 8 monasteries. Worship of the Lord Krishna, deity, who was that? Can you find out? I don't want to speak if people every lecture we say time and again, please turn off your cell phones, and can you just do it, please? Please, those who are translating, translate this. Everyone, please turn off their cell phones. It's all right, I've asked those who are translating. There are translators. Most of the people here don't understand Hindi much. I could have said it in Hindi myself. Worship of the Lord Krishna deity is still going on at Udupi according to the plans Madhvacharya established. Madhvacharya then for the second time visited Bhadrikashram. While he was passing through Maharashtra, the local king was digging a big lake for the public benefit. As Madhvacharya passed through that area with his disciples, he was also obliged to help in the excavation. After some time, when Madhvacharya visited the king, he engaged the king in that work and departed with his disciples. Often in the province of Ganga Pradesh, there were fights between Hindus and Muslims. The Hindus were on one bank of the river and the Muslims on the other. Due to the community tension, no boat was available for crossing the river. The Muslim soldiers were always stopping passengers on the other side, but Madhvacharya did not care for these soldiers. He crossed the river anyway, and when he met the soldiers on the other side, he was brought before the king. The Muslim king was so pleased with him that he wanted to give him a kingdom and some money, but Madhvacharya refused. While walking on the road, he was attacked by some dacoits, but by his bodily strength, he killed them all. When his companion Satyatirtha was attacked by a tiger, Madhvacharya separated them by virtue of his great strength. When he met Vyasadeva, he received from him the Shalagram Shila, known as Ashtamurti. After this, he summarized the Mahabharata. Madhvacharya's devotion to the Lord and his erudite scholarship became known throughout India. Consequently, the owners of the Sringeri Math, established by Shankaracharya, became a little perturbed. At that time, the followers of Shankaracharya were afraid of Madhvacharya's rising power. And they began to tease Madhvacharya's disciples in many ways. There was even an attempt to prove that the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya was not in line with Vedic principles. A person named Pundarik Puri, a follower of the Mayavad philosophy of Shankaracharya, Doso Rupaya Jarma. Take it and we'll continue. Give it to the festival committee. A person named Pundarik Puri, a follower of the Mayavad philosophy of Shankaracharya, came before Madhvacharya to discuss the Shastras. It is said that all of Madhvacharya's books were taken away. Yeah, but you made the same disturbance as an incoming call. Get that. In the meantime, the English speakers can come here and the Hindi speakers can go to the back. Okay. You're translating so close to me. Translating so close, it's a bit disturbing. Please go to the back, because you can hear them, you should be able to hear the sound at the back. And English speakers can come here. Yes.
On the group.
Hindi group, Jarasa, Waha, Piche, Jaye. And the English speakers can come, those who understand English can come speak here. Sit here, sorry. Sorry for the disturbance, but it's just a bit more intelligent to do it that way. Got it? It is said that all of Madhvacharya's books were taken away, but later they were found with the help of King Jayasingh, ruler of Kumlam. In discussion, Pundarik Puri was defeated by Madhvacharya. A great personality named Trivik Ramacharya, who was a resident of Vishnu Mangala, became Madhvacharya's disciple, and his son later became Narayanacharya, the composer of Sri Madhva Vijaya. After the death of Trivik Ramacharya, the younger brother of Narayanacharya took sannyas and later became known as Vishnu Tirtha. It was reputed that there was no limit to the bodily strength of Purna Pragya, Madhvacharya. There was a person named Karanjari, who was famed for possessing the strength of 30 men. Madhvacharya placed the big toe of his foot upon the ground and asked the man to separate it from the ground, as a great strong man could not do so even after great effort. Srila Madhvacharya passed from this material world at the age of 80 while writing a commentary on the Aitareya Upanishad. For further information about Madhvacharya, one should read Madhva Vijaya by Narayana Acharya. Madhva means sweet, just like we have the word madhu. Madhvacharya is famous as a fighter, philosophical fighter. The Madhva Sampradaya recognized him as the same person who was Hanuman in Ram Leela and Bhima in Krishna Leela. So Hanuman and Bhima, they were fighting for the Supreme Lord. And Madhvacharya was also fighting. He physically had tremendous strength, as of course in Hanuman and Bhima. He had tremendous philosophical strength also. He was fighting, particularly with the Mayavadis, philosophically fighting. Now, even though he was fighting, he was very sweet. You may think, well, how is that? I mean, fighting doesn't seem to be very sweet. But the fighting of Hanuman and Bhima and Madhva, who are considered the same person, that is very sweet, because their fighting is bhakti. And the very nature of bhakti is that it is sweet. Would you like to sit down? Is there any place to sit there? Probably others behind you. So when we hear descriptions of, for instance, Bhimsen ripping out Dushasana's heart and drinking the dripping blood, doesn't sound very sweet. That's also one kind of rasa. But everything in bhakti is sweet. It's just a matter of appreciating that. So fighting for Krishna is very sweet. And appreciating the flowers and the trees and the beauty of nature without appreciation of Krishna is all bitter and nasty. Though it may appear to be sweet. Everything in material existence is bitter and nasty. And everything in spiritual existence is very sweet. Of course, Madhvacharya, apart from fighting, he also composed many very sweet and beautiful prayers. He was an expert singer also. So the sweetness manifested in forms which are more usually connected with sweetness. But it's not that he was sweet when he was singing and nasty when he was fighting with the Mayavadis. That's also a manifestation of his pure love for Krishna, which is sweet. Now, another point is that for Hanuman, he is, apart from fighting and being known as a Vanara, which is usually translated as monkey, although obviously Hanuman is not like the average monkey who we see jumping around. He is very intelligent and knew the Vedas, he's a minister, the whole Vanara society, they had a society, they weren't just a bunch of monkeys. But definitely the society that Hanuman was part of is far more civilized than the so-called human beings of the present day. So Hanuman, he was known as a scholar, but Bhima, not particularly so. Bhima is portrayed as being big, strong, and not very intelligent. But actually, that's not a fact. He's a pure devotee of Krishna. Pure devotees of Krishna, they are decorated with all good qualities. Sarva Mahagunagam Vaishnava Sharira, in the form of a devotee, are all great qualities. Although different devotees exhibit some qualities more than others. Madhvacharya was such a scholar, we can't even imagine the extent of his scholarship. We can't even imagine the culture that was in India even up to 100 years ago. There were so many Vedic Brahmanas who nowadays, if someone's called a pundit, if they know Sanskrit grammar, which is children's lessons. But in an era, approximately 800 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, when there were so many scholars all over India who were actually learned, far more than we can imagine, Madhvacharya stood above them all. So he was a fighter, but exceptionally intelligent and learned, as I say, to the extent that we can't imagine. And even the people at his time, they couldn't imagine. And then you get all these Max Muller and all these Indologists making their comments about Madhvacharya and others, that they have no right to comment whatsoever in any way. The only approach we have to Madhvacharya is by Tadvidhi Pranipatin. It's the only way to approach. I'm only speaking here, although I'm speaking here, but that's by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, because previously a person like myself, and actually persons like yourself also, even if you're born in Brahmin families, so-called, we wouldn't be allowed in this land, even a short time ago. Even though those who are born in Brahmin families at the present time, they wouldn't be allowed in here either, because they never followed any of the rituals. They're just Brahmins by name. They'd be thrown out of the Brahmin community for not following, for working for meat eaters, and for not following all the principles. So we wouldn't even be allowed. We are allowed here by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who has inducted us into the Sampradaya of the Vaishnava Acharyas. And we can discuss Madhvacharya with appropriate reverence. Praising Him, that's all we should do. It's not our business to critique Srimad Bhattacharya. I don't know if you can all see, afterwards those of you who can't see, there's a classic picture of Srimad Bhattacharya here. Classic, he's holding up his hand like this, this classic pose. Two fingers held up. This is the message, is the principal message that he came to teach. Absolute is sentient. Thou hast proved. In personal calamity, thou hast removed. Srila Prabhupada wrote of his own Sri Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the same mission, removing impersonal calamity. The thrust of Madhvacharya's preaching was what is technically called Shuddha Dvaita Vada, or the, that can be translated as the philosophy of pure dualism. It is said that, or in the Madhva Sampradaya, it is stated that Lord Brahma, seeing on the earth the spread of Buddhism, followed by Shankaracharya, came to defeat Buddhism, but it was a case of out of the frying pan into the fire. Because what Shankaracharya preached was almost the same as Buddhism. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described Shankaracharya's teachings as Veda Shai Nastikyava, that Buddhism is atheism. Veda Mania Bodh Hoito Nastik. The Buddhists are called Gnostic, which is translated as atheists. Atheist, Gnostic Yava. Although it more precisely, Gnostic means those who do not accept the Vedas. So, because the Buddhists do not accept the Vedas, they're called Gnostic. But Veda Shraina Sikyavad Bodha Keyadhim, even worse than the Buddhists, are those who apparently accept the Vedas, but preach the same message. So this refers to the philosophy of Shankaracharya, who practically, that's called Prachanda. What is it? Mayavadama Sat Chastram Prachandam Bodhamuchate. The philosophy of Shankaracharya, Mayavada, that is apparently based on Shastra, but is Asat. Shastra comes to teach us what is reality, but Mayavada is Asat, non-reality, posing as it's cheating, and it is covered Buddhism. So that's even worse. So Lord Brahma, seeing the spread of these two highly inauspicious philosophies all over India, approached Lord Vishnu and said, well, now is not the time for your avatar, but there's a serious situation in the world. So Lord Vishnu considered to choose one of the demigods for going into the world to combat these bogus philosophers. And he sent Vayu. So, in the Madhva Sampradaya, Vayu is considered the very dear devotee of Lord Vishnu, and that Vayu is son Hanuman, non different from him, and Bhima, that same person, is Madhvacharya. This place, Udupi, even before Krishna came here, Krishna deity, he came to be worshipped by Sri Madhvacharya. Even before then, there were the temples of Ananteshwar and Chandramoleshwar. Chandramoleshwar and Ananteshwar temples, they are temples of Lord Shiva. There was a Brahmana who's mentioned in Prabhupada's purport, Madhyageha Bhatta, whose wife's name was Vedavati. He was a worshipper at the temple of Ananteshwar. He was Vaishnava by disposition. And although worshipping Ananteshwar, he worshipped the deity as Parashura. So to this day, the deity of Ananteshwar is considered Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna. Madhyageha Bhatta, he lived at Parjaka Kshetra. You can visit that place if you have time. It's not far from here. That became the birthplace of Madhvacharya. He would walk daily from there to here. That was common in those days. Brahmins would worship in one place and live in another place, so they'd walk up and down. Every day, several kilometers. He and his wife had two sons, but both died. And they undertook severe austerities for a period of 12 years, following Payavrata, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the austerity of subsisting on milk. I'm not sure if they did that for 12 years, but they performed that Payavrata. One day in the Ananteshwar temple, an apparent madman climbed on the flagpole and, in the manner of a madman, he said something which wasn't mad. He said that very soon a great person will appear in this place who will preach the actual message of the Vedas. So, shortly after Madhyageha Bhatta's wife became pregnant, and when the child was born, very beautiful son, and the astrologers called to calculate his chart, they announce that this is a very great person who will be a great acharya. He will preach the actual message of the Vedas, and the local people remember the statement of this apparent madman who had climbed the flagpole of the Ananteshwar temple and made this announcement. The name given to the boy was Vasudev. When the confinement period was over, nowadays children are born in hospitals mostly. But previously, people had culture. And there were rules governing conception, pregnancy, delivery, post-delivery, Vedic rules for bringing forth first-class children. There were rules for bringing forth second-class children also. For brahmanas, for kshatriyas, there were ceremonies. So, the child was first exposed to the sun. It's different in different places, often up to 40 days. And his first, after being born from the Sutika Griha, the concept or where he was kept after birth, the maternity. His first outing was to Udupi, to the temples. That's a normal thing to do. By the time they came back, it was late at night. They were coming back through the jungle paths. Of course, Madhyageha Bhakta knew the paths very well. He went up and down every day. But at that time, one of the persons in the party accompanying them was attacked by a ghost. He started to vomit blood and scream. And the ghost who had possessed the body of that man said, he announced, that take some dust from the feet of that baby and put it on my head, then I'll be delivered from this ghostly condition. Which was done. So, that was a frightening incident. It all ended well and indicated the greatness of the newly born child. But Madhyageha Bhakta, he expected that there may be more disturbances like this, and therefore we have to protect this child very carefully, because more demons may attack him, as is often the case with great persons. They are attacked by great saintly persons. They are attacked by demoniac persons. Bhima is famous as Vrikodara, the common translation of which is wolf stomach, or one who is very hungry. So this child, he was also very hungry. His mother found it difficult to provide enough milk for him. One day his mother was away from the house, and the child was hungry. He was with with an elder sister. So, there was a bag of grain, rough grain, for feeding the cows. One mound, which is about 40 kilos, big bag. And the bag was open and spilling open a bit. So she went off to find the mother. By the time she came back, most of the grain was gone and the child was inside the bag, finishing it off. That was it. He didn't have an official annaprasana. That was his first eating of grain. Now, if even a fully grown man with good appetite ate that much raw, rough grain, he'd have serious digestive problems. What to speak of a baby who's never taken... I mean, for a start, normally, no normal person could eat that much. This is a baby who had never eaten anything in this lifetime. That's probably why he was so hungry. Of course, his mother was very disturbed. First of all, how could he eat so much? And what's going to happen? He's going to get sick, but he didn't. He's a hungry child. So like this, Madhvacharya, from the beginning, exhibited superhuman symptoms. We've heard of Krishna and Balaram that catch in their babyhood, they would catch the tails of the calves, who would then pull them around in the yard. Well, a young boy, Vasudev, one morning he caught the tail, not of a little calf, but of a fully grown bull, who pulled him around all day. Which would, that would be like a death sentence for anyone else, but for him that was plain. When he was about 3 years old, his family went to a social function. In a nearby village. And he wasn't very interested in social functions, so he wandered off to Udupi, 3-year-old boy. And the brahmanas in the temples were surprised to see an infant spontaneously bowing down to the deities and offering prayers to them. He went for schooling. But the teacher was frustrated for two reasons. One reason is he was always leaving school and going back home to eat. And the other reason was he didn't seem to pay much attention to the class. He didn't seem to be a very good student. When the teacher said that, you're not learning anything, I learned everything. And he said everything the teacher had said that day. Why don't you recite what I'm saying? You said it, I heard it, I learned it, I already know it. So at 5 years old, earlier than usual, he was given Upanayanam, Brahminical initiation. Oh, even before that, there was an incident where he was about 4 years old. And there was a speaker in the Brahmin community especially, and even among all the communities, especially in the Brahmin communities, people would speak, and from Shastra and others would come and listen. But at one such meeting, the little boy, Vasudev, was there, and the speaker was speaking, and the little boy interrupted and said, no, you got it all wrong, and corrected. Speaker among Brahmins means he's very learned, usually elderly, respected, and little boy is correcting him. He's not even had an education fully. He's just starting his education. So at 5 years old, 3 years ahead of the normal age in that caste, he was given Brahminical initiation. Srila Prabhupada mentioned about a deity called Manima. There was a demon in the Kurukshetra battle who was killed by Bhima. And being very envious, He took the form of a five-headed snake and waited in the jungle area near the home of this Vasudeva. He wanted to get even being killed by Bhima. So one time when the young boy passed by there, that India's demon bit him. Now, this kind of snake, his bite would normally be considered fatal, even for a strong man, not to speak of a young boy. But the young boy, being not in the slightest bit disturbed, put his foot on the heads of that snake demon and killed him. And when the boy was inspected, there was no sign of any snake. But these are the superhuman activities. He would go playing here and there. One time his mother was calling him, young boy, he's gone away, where is he? He was actually 2 kilometers away at the time. And hearing his mother in anxiety, he jumped and landed up. Yes, mother? Remembering pastimes of Hanuman, who jumped a lot further. How far was that? To Lanka? 1,000 yojanas or something. Longer than the present distance between India and Lanka. Yeah, that Prabhupada mentioned that how his father had purchased a bull. Well, I'm elaborating a bit, and he hadn't paid, and the man was wanted payment, so he was coming and sitting on his father's doorstep and fasting. Very inauspicious to have someone fasting at your doorstep until he got paid. Vasudeva's father had no means to pay him, so he was in a lot of anxiety. So the young boy went outside and gathered some tamarind seeds and went up to the person to whom the debt was owed and said, here's your payment. You're just like a little child playing. But that person reciprocated and held out his hands. Madhva poured the tamarind seeds into them, and when the man looked, all the seeds had turned into gold coins, and the value was far more than that of what he was owed. When he was still very young, it's not clear exactly how old, some age between 10 or 12, the young boy Vasudeva, he wanted to accept sannyas. His father wasn't willing. Naturally, his father was very attached to his son and didn't want him to leave home. But the young boy was quite insistent, but his father said, you see, we don't have any other son. There should be some son. It's required to look after us in old age and so many things a son is required for. So mother said, okay, all right, I won't accept sannyas until you have a son, another son. So at that time, there's no sign of that, but soon thereafter, his mother again became pregnant. In the meantime, the young boy went to live at the nearby ashram of Achyuta Preksha, sannyasi. And he would come back from time to time to his father's house. And then when a son was born, he said, okay, I'm taking sannyas now. What happened was at one point, his father was trying to convince him not to take sannyas. At one point, his father grabbed the feet of his own child to bake it. And the child said, well, a father never bows down and touches the feet of his son, unless he's a sannyasi. So practically you're confirming that. So he took sannyas from Achyuta Preksha. He was the young boy Vasudev, was given the name Purna Pragya Tirtha. Achyuta Preksha was in the sannyasi who was superficially a Mayavadi, but he practically he learned from Purna Pragya Tirtha the actual conclusion of the scriptures. So at the point he took sannyas is a good point for us to end here. We have to finish 6:15, now according to my watch it's 6:13, and we can continue this narration tomorrow, starting from the sannyas pastime, or the post-sannyas pastime of Sri Madhvacharya. So thank you very much everyone for coming here.